This segment is made possible by Smoking Tech's electric smokers that I've been using a long, long time, Catfish Pro Catfishing Baits and Catfish Supplies, the Bow Barn in Greenville, Texas, right there on I-30, Ultramatic Feeders, and AGM Global Vision, maker of the spotters and thermal scopes that I hunt with. Well, friends, our next guest is Mr. Paul Moore with Vineyard Max. Now, they make some awesome game feeders, fish feeders, deer feeders, protein feeders, corn feeders, you name it. Let's talk about feeders on our hunting leases. Paul, thank you, buddy, for being with us.
Oh, Luke, it's always a pleasure and honor to be on, to be with you and to get to visit with you. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, this is a time of the year right now where there's a stress period for deer, and that's usually my biologist buddies tell me it's late winter, early spring, but that's over. The woods are green enough. There's really most places right now plenty for deer to eat. And a lot of people, not me, but a lot of people stop their feeders completely. They shut them off. I don't do that. I've got some land close to my house that a couple of really nice neighbors, friends let me hunt, and I have two feeders, two of the Vineyard Max ain't going. And what I do, I don't shut them down. I cut them way back for monetary reasons, really. And, you know, during the hunting season, I'll let those things run about twice a day, about 4 seconds. But my theory is, in the off season, rather than take them out of the woods or whatever, it's just to keep them going. But springtime, it's a time when we have to make a decision what to do with our feeders, isn't it, Paul?
Yes, sir, absolutely. And it's to your point there, Luke, we personally, on our properties, we personally turn our feeders back to about 1 second, those that we keep running. And we try to keep as many of our feeders running as possible because we really don't want to change the pattern of the wildlife. And we have found that by keeping them running just a little bit, that really helps, especially with our broadcast feeders. Now, with our protein feeders, we don't have near as many of those out, as you know, but those that we do have out, we keep protein in our feeders pretty much year round now. But there are those feeders that we do shut down for the season, but most of them we try to run year round.
Paul, is there any thing that you do? Say you've got some, just say for instance, on 100 acres, say a guy has maybe 10 feeders, whatever. And then you're going to keep three or four of them running through the summer, or four, whatever. The ones that you don't want to keep running, do you pull the batteries out, or do you, any maintenance to those, anything special?
Yes, I see what we have found with our feeders that really, what we like to do. We just kind of got this little standard of process that we go through. It's real simple. We just take the battery out. We make sure that the door on our lower unit is closed really well. Make sure that we got a pin or a wire or something in that little latch so that the raccoons can't get into it. One time out in Lampasas on a pasture that we were hunting, some way, somehow, a raccoon or a squirrel got inside that box and chewed a few wires, and we had all kinds of things happen. I mean, literally the inside of that box caught on fire. Burned all the wires, so we just had to pretty much replace our 12-volt motor and our timer and everything else, and that can be costly when you go back out in the fall and you're trying to get things going. So just making sure that that box is really shut tight is a great thing to do. Make sure that all of the corn is out of the feeder. Dump it out. You don't want mold growing in there and getting all clumped up and clog things up in the fall when you get going again. Make sure your lid is secured on the top of your feeder. You know, and we do that with just some real heavy rocks sometimes. Yep. But anything to make sure that is secured. Make sure that the feeder is secured so that a big hog or a cow can't push it over and kick it around like a big tin can. Those are just some practical things I think we can all do to really, because feeders are expensive these days. Even though We believe at Vineyard Max, we build one of the highest quality, most affordable feeders on the market. They're still not cheap. And so anything that we can do to prolong the life of that feeder is something that we can do that really, really helps out in the long run.
That's true. And, you know, I go way back with feeders, and you do too. But I go back a little farther than even you do, Paul, because I'm a bit older. And I remember the the old pens. Feeders used to be a nightmare to work with back in the day when they first became popular. I remember the old type with a wheel and a pin. You stick that pin at a certain time that you want the feeder to go off, and when that clock, just a mechanical clock, it wasn't a digital clock, when it rolled around, that pin would hit a little striker and throw your activate your feeder. But well, Carl Harmon, Ultramatic Feeders, for years I've used their the remote that they have that you can remotely activate.
Sir.
You can use those on your feeders. And then the timer, that thing is so...
The timer is the best timer on the market today. That, and we buy ours that we put on all of our units from Carl and Ultramatic Feeders, the by far the best timer a person could put on their feeder.
Simple to operate. I used to have a rough time with some of those back in the day. They were hard. It almost took an electronic engineer to set some of those things up, and then they didn't work half the time. Worked on little AA batteries. But no, the today the feeders that you guys have and they're just light years ahead of what we used to have. They're very dependable.
And those timers that we use and that we get from Carl at Ultramatic, they come with a 5-year warranty.
Yep.
And I mean, I've got some of those out on feeders that we've had out in the field for 12, 15 years and no problems at all.
Me too.
Yes, it's come a long way. I even remember back, Luke, in the days before the little timers that you're talking about, I even remember back when we had the dawn to dusk timers, and if that little camera there or whatever it was, that little sensor got dirt on it or whatever, it wouldn't even go off. So yeah, you're so right that things have advanced so much in the last several years.
Yep. So here's the thing, the way I look at a feeder. Now, actually within a half a mile of where I live, there's a lot of hogs and a lot of deer and ducks. I mean, and there's good hunting and fishing close by, even though I'm only about 30 miles from Dallas, you know. But you have to have a dependable feeder. Not everybody walks out their back door, and I hunt a lot of ranches where, you know, the people have to depend on that thing working. So say you have a lease which is not uncommon. You have to drive 2, 3, 4 hours sometime or more to that lease. Well, you know, it's going to cost you gasoline. You have to be away. You got to go fill those feeders. There is some monetary cost involved in that. So a guy needs a feeder that he can depend on that's going to work when he gets there. You know, that's the way I look at a feeder. And you're not going to be able to buy one for $59 and, you know, a good one anymore. So, I know that your company, Vineyard Max, you guys have places all over scattered around, different dealers through East Texas and Southeast Texas and all over, even starting up in Northeast Texas now. But I think a lot of people realize that the money spent on a quality game feeder is, you know, it truly is. It's money well spent.
Yes. And I'll tell you, one of the things that we pride ourselves in at Vineyard Max with our feeders is we believe that all welded construction and heavy steel construction are two of the greatest components of the structural piece of a feeder. Of course, the lower unit and the timer and all of that, all the operational pieces are extremely important too. But when you're dealing with areas where there's a lot of hog activity, there's a lot of cows, structural is very, very important. We use 14 gauge steel on all of our framing. Our varmint cages are actually built by a company that makes HEB shopping carts. I mean, they are heavy 4-gauge material. We use heavy-duty galvanized lids from Carl that we get over at Ultramatic Feeders. We do not put a rivet one in our feeders. We do not want water to penetrate inside that feeder at all. We do not use sight windows. We don't do anything to penetrate that box. We weld it all together, and we believe that keeping water and moisture out of the inside of that box is one of the most valuable things that we can do to protect the investment inside that box, which is the feed that we dispense for the wildlife.
You bet. Paul, there's nothing more frustrating than being away from a feeder for 2 months, and you go back and check, it's all caked up. And yeah, what I'd like to do is leave the website where our friends listening could go there and take a look at your feeders. And then, friends, while you're there, the Vineyard Max, there is a it's crushed grape skins and other ingredients that bring deer running. I've been using the stuff for since the early winter. Check that out too. It's an attractant. The grape smell in there carries a long way, and deer, we've learned they love that aroma. So check that out. But what's the website?
Our website, Luke, is www.vineyardmax.net. And to your point, Luke, this time of the year, we're starting protein programs. A lot of people are starting protein programs. And in East Texas, sometimes we have a difficult time getting deer started on protein. And if you'll mix one bag of Vineyard Max with two bags of your protein, mix it in thoroughly, the deer will start coming to your protein quicker. And then once they're on your protein and eating whatever type of protein you like to feed, you can back that Vineyard Max deer attractant out and go straight to protein. But it really, really helps establish that protein program in your pasture.
Absolutely, no doubt. And we used it out in West Texas to bring deer in. We were hunting. So in areas that didn't have a feeder. So the stuff works. Paul, thank you so much, buddy, for being with us. And thanks.
It is always a pleasure.
Folks, let's talk a little outdoor cooking. Let me tell you about an electric smoker that I've been using for 15 years, I guess. Smoking Tech's electric smokers. If you're tired of staying up all night keeping that wood fire burning when you're barbecuing, give Smoking Tech's a try. They're made to last a lifetime. You can check them out at smokingtex.com. That's smokingtex.com. And for seasonings, anything to do with outdoor cooking, all kind of jerky seasonings, sausage seasonings, Butcher Packer Supply. That's butcherpackersupply.com. I think the website is butcher-packer.com.